Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about something called a gospel lens, right? We're in a series called Good News is Everywhere. And we're talking about how you can look anywhere and literally find good news. Even in tragedies, even in hard times or difficult moments that you're going through in your life, where most people would be like, man, I'm so sorry, that's terrible. You can never find good in that situation. If you're looking through a gospel lens, which is what we're kind of rolling through over these couple weeks, you'll be able to find good news there. Like, even in the broken moments. Can you guys, if you have that slide of the gospel lens, it might take you a second. Can you throw that up there real quick? So we've been talking through, wow, that was fast. We've been talking through this, and the gospel lens is a way to look at everything. A way to look at everything in your entire life. And this lens is built with four different things that are really important to your perspective. First is creation, that God created everything that exists and he made it perfect, a perfect universe. And we talked all the way from Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. And it's really cool because tonight we're going to look at the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. And we've hit a few places in between. And what that says to me is that no matter what page of the Bible you're on, you're going to find this. You see, we start with creation, that God created everything perfect. And so sometimes people are like, man, why does this world stink so much? Why does my life feel like this? Why is there so much pain? And the answer is that in creation, God made the world absolutely perfect. He designed you absolutely perfect. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so that's really good news, that you're not just floating around in a rock through some like dark space and then we'll all just die one day and there's no purpose. You have purpose. That's good news. There's a reason why you're alive, and it's because the God of the universe created you and wants you. And the next part of this is the fall. That we saw how Adam and Eve, the first people God created, they disobeyed God. They rebelled against God. And in their sin against God, it broke everything. And so you're like, well, that's the part right there. The reason why my life, why I see pain and brokenness and like relationships around me, maybe my own mom and dad have divorced, and I don't understand why. And the answer is this: the fall. The sin in our lives has broken everything around us. The entire universe is broken. We get sick because of the fall. We sin because of the fall. Our relationships are broken because of the fall. It all comes back to that. Where God created it perfect and we broke it. And then all of a sudden we get to this next part where God was like, but I love you. I love you. It's not good that we're separated. It's not good that you're going to suffer eternal punishment and separation from me. And so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to die for you where you deserve to die. You see, we have sinned against an infinite king. And when you sin against an infinite king, the penalty to breaking that law is infinite. It's so big, you and I can't pay for it. But God says, I can because I'm infinite. And so his son Jesus redeems us, and that's that next piece of the lens. Redemption is that Jesus says, I'm going to purchase you. It's like, I don't know if you guys know what layaway is. Anyone know what layaway is? Some of you know, like, do they still have layaway? Like at Kmart or like Walmart, where you can like, Target has it, right? You go buy something, but you don't want to pay for it yet, so they like hold it for you. And then you come back later and you pay for it, you take it. You take it. So Jesus was saying, basically, we're on layaway in a way, like, Jesus loves us so much, he says, I'm not going to let you die in this broken universe and pay this huge penalty of death without me stepping in. Because I love you so much. And so Jesus Christ died on a cross for us and was buried and rose again so that he could redeem you. He could take you back. He could make you his again. And so that's really, really good news. And then we get to tonight, which is the best part, I think. It's the greatest part of the news of this lens, restoration. Because you're still going, hey, okay, I get that God created us perfect. I get that we broke it, and that's why all this stuff went wrong. And I even get that Jesus died for me and paid that, but then why do I still hurt? How come my parents are still divorced? How come that person I love still died? How come all these horrible things keep going wrong in the world? If Jesus already redeemed everything, then why isn't it made better yet? Well, that's the cool part. The greatest news is the restoration part of this lens. That Jesus has come to redeem us, but then not just stop there and say, okay, good luck, guys. I paid for it, but you're still going to just suffer. He says, I've come to restore you. I took you back to myself so I could make you better than I ever created you in the beginning, than you originally were meant to be. He's going to make you even better than that. That's awesome news. Especially if you're like me and you're living in a world where you're like, man, this life hurts. There's things in this life that just beat me down. I'm so glad that Jesus has says, I'm going to restore everything. Jesus has says, that's good grammar right there. You didn't even pick it up, did you? Anybody hear that? I did. I want to read you a chapter from, some verses from chapter 21 of Revelation. So you can check out on the screens or open your Bibles, your phones, whatever. But Revelation chapter 21, this is where Jesus does it. And I told you, we started in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible. And we go all the way through, and now we're in the very end of the Bible in Revelation, and we see what Jesus does to restore everything. Check this out. Revelation 21. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this is like talking about the end of like the timeline. Jesus comes back, like the world's about to end. He's making everything brand new. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the one we're on, or not heaven, but, and the first earth, the one we're on, had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned to her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, I'm going to try to do a loud voice here. Behold, that was terrible. I sound like an old British guy. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself, listen to that, God himself will be with them. God himself will be with us as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every single one. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, like grieving, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's awesome news. That's really good news. Look what he says next. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down. You ever like had something really good to say and you looked at your friend, you're like, write that down, dude. That was so good. I don't know if he's doing that here, but I've pictured that. So he's like, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Get this written. And he said to them, it's done. My whole work's done. From the very beginning, when I threw the first stars out into space, when I created everything with this purpose, here it is. It's the moment. It's done. He's finished it. He's restored everything. And he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, and that's me so often, I will give them from the spring of the water of life. Get this part. Without payment. To people who need it, who are going to die. If you're going to die one day, can you just raise your hand? Anybody one day going to die? If your neighbor's not like raising their hand, you might need to have a little heart-to-heart with them after. I don't want to break the bad news here, but you're in seventh or higher grade, so I'm going to tell you this. Everybody dies, all right? All the hands should be up. So listen what he's saying, because he's talking to you. If your hand was up just then, he's talking to you. This is important for you, because that means you're going to die. So literally, he calls you out right here in the Bible. Did you know you made it in the Bible? That was you right there. He's talking to you. If you're going to die, guess what he has for you? If you trust in him, he has life. And you don't have to pay for it. It's free. Some of you guys came tonight, and some people asked me before, like, how much does this thing cost? I'm like, it's free. You mean I get to go win like $100? Who won $100 tonight? Ba-bum, right there. $100 winner. Okay. But your entrance fee was $200, so we'll square up after this, right? Like, you owe me $100. No, it's free. How often do we get free stuff in this world? Not very often. Everybody wants to charge us for something. But Jesus gives us the greatest thing. He says, I have life for you. And guess what? All you guys just raised your hand. Y'all need life. I need life. We're all dying. And Jesus said, I've come to restore your brokenness and you're headed to death. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you for free life. life that never ends, eternal life. If you trust in him, if you believe that he'll actually do what he's saying he's going to do, if you believe he's actually God and strong enough to do it. So he's asking you to trust him. And he wants to give you eternal life. Then he says this, to the one who conquers will have the heritage. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, it's a lot of bad people, right? Their portion, what they're going to get, will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is a second death. Now, probably 99% of you wish I had stopped reading that passage just before that verse. Because who likes to talk about that part, right? That's the hard part to talk about, that there really is a place for people who don't believe in Jesus and don't accept him, and it's a place of eternal punishment because we deserve it. Because remember the second part of that, the fall, where we broke everything and disobeyed God? That lake of fire is the punishment for that. But Jesus is so good, he's like, I don't want any of you to go there. No one in this room has to go there. He's like, I love every single one of you, and so I'm going to make it so you don't have to because I'm that good. If you trust in me, I'm going to freely give you life instead. I'm going to make all things brand new. I'm restoring everything. And that's cool because did you hear the part where he says, like, there'll be no more crying? There'll be no more pain? Like, he's going to wipe away all of the hurt and the pain and the brokenness of this universe. And you know what? I need that. Today, I needed that a lot. I was reminded. It was probably God who did this today. But I woke up this morning and I had this, I thought I had fallen asleep with a samurai sword in my bed because when I rolled over, I felt like something just like sliced me open. But it wasn't like anything. It was like my appendix or something inside me. I don't know. It wasn't my appendix, but it was something. I haven't found out yet. So I spent the whole day since like 7 o'clock this morning in the emergency room. And I'm on like all sorts of good pills right now to help me. But it's legal stuff. It's legal stuff. It's like medicine so that I can like not feel the pain until tomorrow when they can figure out what's wrong with me. But I wanted to be here with you guys tonight. So here I am. But I was sitting in the hospital all day just thinking like, man, this body stinks. I mean, you'd think that this is a pretty decent in my body, right? But it stinks. It stinks, right? Like our bodies are broken. And as I'm sitting there and I'm just like, hunched over just trying to make the pain stop in my side, I'm thinking like about this message tonight, and I'm thinking about God's words, and I'm thinking, man, he's going to wipe away all this pain. Like one day I'm not going to feel this. One day I'm not going to cry because I've lost somebody that I love and I have to sit next to their bed and watch them die. You know, as I walked up today, I was trying to like get out of the hospital. It was around like 3 and I was like, I got firehouse tonight. Can you guys let me out early? I got to go. And as I'm standing there asking the nurse at the counter, a chaplain had walked in and he's standing next to me and the nurses like looked at each other and went like, I'm like, who is this dude? Like, and I look over and I see he had the chaplain badge on and they're like, what happened? Like they knew immediately, like something had happened if he showed up. And he just kind of like leaned in and just very softly was like, I got to talk to a couple. They're like in their mid-20s. Their little baby girl had come in that morning and had just passed away. And he's like, I have to go like talk to them. I have to go pray with them and console them because their daughter just died. The nurses and I, we were just like absolutely quiet, like, whoa. That's the brokenness of this universe. That's what sin does. When you sit and you watch someone you love pass, and Jesus says, I'm taking that away. Like, I'm sick of that. I'm tired of you hurting. I'm tired of your tears. I'm tired of you having to go through that. I want to restore that. And so when we talk about Easter, what we're talking about is that Jesus rose again to restore you. His resurrection is what buys you restoration. It fixes the pain in your life. But I guarantee you, there's so many of us in this room, because I put myself in the same category, that we try to find that somewhere else. We're looking all over the place because there is hurt in our hearts. And we try to like put on that cool facade, like I'm awesome, I wear the right clothes and I have the right technology and I have like all these cool friends. But inside you're hurting so bad and we're like, how do you know that? You don't know me. But I know plenty of students just like that. As I'm on your school campuses and they come up to me after Bible studies and they're like, look. And I'm like, you? Like, you're like the coolest kid here. Like, you're so popular. And like, and they're just sitting there crying like, man, I'm broken and all my friends are broken. Like, you don't know what's inside. It hurts. Like, why are you trying to look for that fulfillment in places you're never going to find it? And Jesus says you can stop looking. I'm doing all this to make you brand new. You're never going to find that fulfillment in any of these things. Why are there people cutting themselves? Because they're trying to find that fulfillment. They don't know where to look. Why are there people involved in sexual relations before marriage? Because they're trying to find fulfillment, but they don't know where to look. Why are there people addicted to drugs? Because they're trying to find fulfillment, but they don't know where to look. And the list goes on and on. And I have plenty to add to that list of my own stuff where I've done that and do that. So I could tell you from personal experience, the only place to find it is Jesus. You could try them all and you're going to end up in the same boat. Because Jesus says, I've come to take all that junk and to wipe it away and make you brand spanking new. You don't need any of that anymore. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been in those situations I just mentioned. But today, you're standing on the other side saying, Jesus freed me from those things. And you're a living testimony of that, that Jesus Christ can take your brokenness and take your pain and wash it away and make you whole and brand new. There's some of you in this room with those same testimonies. Praise God he did that in you. And there's some of you guys who are here and you haven't experienced that yet. You're like a fish out of water a little bit tonight. You're like, what are you guys talking about? Like, where am I? I came to find eggs. Like, what's going on? But you're in a group of people where there's a lot of people in this room who could share that same testimony with you. I was broken, but Jesus came and fixed me and made me brand new. And you know what? These people around you, I guarantee you there's some sitting by you that would love to share their story with you. So if you're here tonight, you're like, man, that's me and I've never experienced Jesus doing that for me. Try asking the person next to you when we leave. Say, hey, do you know what he's talking about? Most likely you're going to bump into someone who could say, yeah, Jesus did that in my life. And they'd love to share that with you. There was this guy, I was in Guatemala working in this clinic. I was translating in a medical clinic. And I don't know anything about medicine. I was just translating for the doctors. But I was in high school learning Spanish and I'm translating. This dude comes in, he was like 1,000 billion years old and he was all wrinkly and like about this tall. And he walks in and he had like a toupee on and it was like, poop, like hanging off his head. His hair. I wanted to like rub his head, you know? And he was just weird looking. He comes in and I found out the dude had been shot in the face. Not like right then though. I just thought he was ugly, but he was, just kidding, I'm just kidding. Everybody's beautiful. Jesus will make him new one day, it's okay. He had been shot in the face. When he was younger, he was involved in like the drug cartel and this whole deal, and somehow they got in some fire, and he got shot in the face. So the doctors took and tried to reconstruct his face, took like his whole jawbone and part of his cheekbone out. So they put this metal in there instead, like a metal plate. And so he comes in, and I just thought he was nuts and a little ugly. And so he comes in, and he's like trying to tell the doctor something, and the doctor's like, there's no way he's telling me what I think he's telling me. I must be getting it wrong. So they have me come over and translate. I'm like, what do you think he's saying? He's saying like he can hear the radio station and he wants to dance with me. And I'm like, it was a lady doctor. And I was like, really? Yeah, this dude's nuts too. So I started talking to him. Sure enough, he's like, I hear the radio. And I'm like, why don't? I was like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. You're nuts. Like, we got some good psychiatry medicine for you over here. And he's like, no. And so he grabs me. He grabs me by my cheeks because I get grabbable cheeks. He grabs me by my cheeks and he pulls me right up to him, pushes my ear up against his ear just like this. And I'm like, he better not kiss me. I will knock him. I will knock this dude out, man. And as I stopped for a second, totally caught by surprise, I heard the stinking radio. I do not lie to you. Somehow, look, I don't know science. I could hear static and a little bit of like merengue. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, and so I could hear some, and I'm like, what the heck is that? So at first I just think I'm nuts. I'm like, or he's playing with me. He was like, or something like that. So like, I grab him and I'm like, I pull him back to my face. I'm like, bro, I need to hear that again. I could literally hear like some radio signals in the metal in his face or something, the doctor said. I don't know, but I thought it was nuts. Here's the point of this. I'm getting on sidetracked here. It was crazy. Believe it or not, it happened. So the dude was broken. Like, his body was falling apart. He's hearing the radio from... I just think about, like, will you stop for a second and think about yourself? You guys are young, and, like, your bodies are probably not all broken and stuff yet. But it doesn't take long in this world for your heart to get all jacked up. And so you're sitting here, and you're like, man, I'm totally in perfect shape. That's great. How's your heart? Because I dare say, that's so weird. Hi, I guess just leave him or check. I don't know. You can check. Someone. Don't let him in. Yeah. Look out there first. Don't embarrass anybody, though, because it's probably somebody's parent, like, at the wrong door. Yeah. If it's for you, don't be embarrassed if you have to go. That's okay. So listen, so here, we're back to this. They disappeared. They got sucked out by somebody and kidnapped. It's fine. God will take care of them. No, Manny's a big dude. He's okay. Will you stop for a second? I know that distracted us, but this was a big question, so I want to reel us back in for 1 second, because I really want you guys to think about this. Aside from Jesus just saying, hey, I want to fix all the brokenness in the universe, the physical stuff, like our bodies and pain and all that death, he wants to do something even bigger. He wants to look inside your brokenness inside of you, and he wants to fix that. And I guarantee, there's not a doubt in my mind, that every single person, we could go one by one down these rows and ask you, we will find brokenness in the hearts of every person in this room. In one form or another, I believe we'd find brokenness. You hear me? I know. They're cute. They're all little and stuff. Hi, guys. See ya. It's just a commercial break. We're good. Sweet. Thanks, Manny. Appreciate it. A little hand for Manny. Thank you, Manny. That was good. And Zach. Zach went up first. I know, but we assume that, Zach. You're just tough. Okay. So, here we go. Take three for the third time. One more time. Let me try this. Maybe we'll get it this time. You've already heard the question twice. Now it should sink in. Close your eyes for 1 second. It's the only way we're going to ever get back. Just close your eyes. Do me the favor. Close your eyes. All right? Think about it. Where's the brokenness in your heart? What's the thing in you that screams out the loudest when you think about pain, when you think about tears? What's happened to you in your life that's left you just like totally just broken? You could look at me again. Jesus came for that. See, as you get older, your bodies will break more and they will fall apart more. And eventually we all will die. But the other thing that happens is that more and more stuff in life attacks your heart. It crushes your heart. That's why we hear stories of really wealthy dudes who have really beautiful wives and really nice cars and huge mansions and all this. And we're like, yeah, I'd love to have that. But yet they're out committing suicide. And we're all sitting back going, why would you do that? Like, you had everything. Because inside it was all broken, and they needed Christ to be the thing that restores and makes them brand new inside. And we're no different. Every single one of us here tonight, Jesus has done that for us. Now, I want to read you a verse that says that. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So in other words, the old brokenness of us, like that dies. That gets wiped away. We get a brand new name, a brand new identity in Jesus. In order that, check this out, just as Christ was raised from the dead Like, do you know there's a guy who rose from the dead? Like, a dude was dead, and then he came back to life. Does that not at all, like, make you go, what? Or at least, like, want to throw stuff at me for, like, being a liar? But here's the deal. It's true. That's a huge, that's the good news. That's why the good news is so great. Jesus really did live. We know that. And Jesus really did die. We know that. And Jesus is alive today. That's what makes this whole entire faith, this thing we call Christianity, that's what makes it worth it. This gospel lens we were talking about. Our Savior is alive. And that's what Easter is about. That life is what makes you whole. That life is what says Jesus conquered your brokenness. Jesus conquered your sin and your death, and he's giving you life and making you brand new. Now, the girls always complain that I only show, like, dude movies, like, dude videos and stuff, like superheroes and, like, guy stuff. So I have found a girl video for you guys tonight. So you're welcome. No, that's not painting nails. But I think you'll be proud of me for this one, all right? Don't judge me yet. But I want to illustrate this point tonight with a specially dedicated video to our young ladies. So watch this video. A little bit sad, but it's good too. It's good.
I was new.
Right?
Beloved. Free. Happy. Beautiful. The world, it beat me up, rejected me, said I was different, not pretty enough, not good enough.
For you. Don't say I never did nothing for you, okay? Listen. I actually was like, oh, choked up over it the first time I saw it, so I'm not gonna. But here's what I want you to know, because I feel like Jesus is saying this. I want to read you a verse in Galatians. It's Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm telling you tonight a big claim. I know it's a huge thing to claim. There's a dude who rose from the dead. I know that's a huge claim. He loves you and wants to restore your entire life. That's a huge claim. I get it. And that's why this verse says that as you believe that, this life you're living has to be lived in faith. It's something that you have to trust and you have to believe that Jesus really does love you and he really is that big and that he gives us two reasons. Why should I believe, Rob? That's your question, right? Okay, he says number one is because he loves you so much. And if you really stop and look, you'll start to see all these ways that Jesus is loving you, because the Bible says he's pursuing you. He's chasing you down. And if you really look around you with a gospel lens like we're talking about, you're going to start to see his love all over your life. Like, you'll see it clear like this piece of glass that just has Jesus' fingerprints just dragging all over your life. Because he really loves you that much. And the second reason why you should believe, he says, is because he died for us. He didn't just say, hey, I love you. That's easy, right? He took his own life and he says, I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. That's what Easter's about, is that I die and rise again to give you life. Why should you believe? Because he loves you enough to die for you. He's done that. It's finished, like it just said in Revelation. So he tells us what to do. I want to end with this part right here. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. This is what we should do if we really believe this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's the good news, right? You're brand new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. He made you right with him again. He restored you again to himself. And gave us, check this part out, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, Brooke, I saved you, I restored you, I reconciled you, and so now I'm giving you a job. I want you to go out and restore yourself to other people. Restore the broken relationships in your life. And tell them about me so they can be restored to me. He calls you to be an ambassador, which is what it says next. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. God, Jesus, was doing this, not counting their trespasses against them. So he's like, man, Rob Jones, you are a sinner. But I'm not going to count it against you. Instead, he says, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Instead, even though I see you're a sinner, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to prove my love for you, and I'm going to restore you. And then, Rob, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to say, here you go. Go tell people about that and do the same thing. Be about that. You know what I get from that? This entire life is about that. What's life about? What's your purpose? That. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I should do with my life. I don't know what job you might have, but I know what you should do with your life. If you believe in Jesus and he's reconciled you, what you should do with your life, no matter what job you have, is be helping other people reconcile themselves or be reconciled to Jesus. Introduce that good news we keep talking about to other people. That's what your life should be about, because that's what he's done for you. That's some incredible news. So this isn't just a promise that you're going to go to heaven. It is that. Like, that's awesome. We get promised eternity with God in heaven, but he promises to restore you starting right now. So you're like, what's in that for me? Like, great, I'll go to heaven someday, maybe. If, I don't know, we'll close our eyes and die. Will I really go? Here's where the evidence kicks in. Here's how you can believe that's true. Because as you believe right now, he starts right now. As you believe right now, he starts to take your life as broken as it is right now and fix it and show himself to you. And you're like, whoa! God, I'm seeing you all over the place. I'm seeing you restore and fix me. Like, he's showing you the evidence of his love for you now. You don't have to wait till eternity to see it. The moment that you believe, he was already in that process to help you come and recognize his love and respond. That's him chasing you down. He loves you so much. Restoration. He wants to restore you. There's this girl who shared her testimony, and she is going to kind of explain real quick in this last video how that restoration took place in her life. I want you to hear her testimony real quick.
I fell into partying a bit, and all my friends were doing it. The guy I liked partied a lot, and so then it gave an excuse to be around him. It fell apart a lot quicker than I expected. I would drink on the weekdays because drama would happen on the weekends when I'd party. I became depressed really fast. One time during a party, I was really drunk, and I like stood up and just shouted out that I wanted to commit suicide. And I had a cigarette with me, and I kept lighting it and putting it out on my arm and lighting it and putting it out on my arm. And everyone at that point really just thought I was a psycho. one of my best friends at the time, he started telling me that like he didn't want to ever speak to me anymore and to quit calling him, that I was a psycho and that nobody liked me. I got so far to the point where like I had hit rock bottom, and all I wanted to do was die so I didn't have to deal with anything anymore. And so I get home and I'm just like rummaging through the medicine cabinet, and I poured out every pill in it and I put them all in my mouth, and then I heard my sister walking down the stairs, and I had no idea anyone was home. So I spit them out and I threw them in the cabinet and I ran out of my house. And I just thought, I was like, okay, well, it didn't happen right now, but I can come home later. I can do it tomorrow. And then I got a text from my Young Life leader. I told them everything that had been happening. And so they sent me on a trip 24 hours later to Colorado, where I wouldn't know one person. It literally was the best 6 days of my life. I got home, I like pulled out my Bible and I like started trying to read it. I got to this verse and it's James 4:7-10. And it basically says, so let God work his will in you. You'll allow no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin, purify your inner life, quit playing the field. Hit rock bottom and cry your eyes out. Get serious, really serious. The fun and games are over. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll ever get on your feet. And when I saw that verse, it was literally like God was saying to me, live out this verse and I will redeem you. And I will renew your, I will completely turn your life around and I will get you back on your feet. Like once I began this new life, I just laid every burden down on God, everything I'd been struggling with, the reputation and the struggles I had at school, and the depression, cutting and burning myself with cigarettes, and like the temptation to like drink. When I just like gave all these to him, it was like, it was no longer a part of me. I went and I got this tattoo. The verse is, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you.
When I was working in that orphanage I told you guys about in Guatemala, there was this little boy who came, and his name was Nettie. He was this little teeny, skinniest, cutest little kid you'd ever seen. And he had come with his dad, and what had happened was he was in a car or a bus with his mom and dad, and the bus got in an accident. His mom died. And his dad was like really, really injured. And basically his dad just couldn't do anything after that point. Like they became homeless. He had no job. He had no way to work. His body was just broken. He was like on these crutches. And one day I'm up in the orphanage playing with some kids, just like on the playground. And I see this dude coming up this huge mountain. The orphanage is on this mountain and this big, like really steep road. There's a guy coming up that road on crutches holding a kid, like all the way up this mountain. And as I see him get to the top, they come up and he shares the story with us. And what he wanted was to leave his son with the orphanage just long enough for him to be able to like go get a job and get healed and make some money again, because he was afraid his son would starve to death. And so, of course, we took him in and he stayed with us. His dad got a job, but the job was so far away. It was on the other side of the country. He could never come to the orphanage. And about 2 years had passed, and his dad couldn't even come visit his son. Well, after 2 years, we get a phone call. And it was the dad. And he said, hey, tomorrow I want to come, and I want to see my boy. I'm ready. I got a house now. I've got some money. I'm so excited to see my son again. Just be ready. You know, I want to come tomorrow. And so the next day, we're out there again just playing. It's the middle of the day. It's really hot. Everybody's sweating. We're playing soccer just up on the top of the mountain. Here comes this guy walking up kind of with a limp, you know, but no crutches. And we knew who it was right away. And he's walking up that long road. And as he gets to the top, he's so excited to see his son. I clearly saw it because I was playing with some kids over here. And Nettie's over here just playing. The dude sees his son immediately. And I could just see the smile, like this huge, crazy smile. He was missing a few teeth, so it was kind of a funny looking smile. And he's just like, he lit up when he saw his son, and he starts like booking it over with a little bit of a gimp, booking it over to his son. Nettie sees this guy, and when he came, he was just like a little teeny kid. Like, he didn't know this dude. And so he sees, to him, it's this creepy guy missing some teeth, like running at him. And he just like freaks out, and he runs over and wraps his arms around my leg, and he starts crying. I'm like, what? That's your dad, bro. Like, don't you want to see your dad? And when I looked up, it had to be one of the saddest moments of my life to see his dad's face, because his dad just instantly just broke down in tears. Like, his eyes welled up. Like, to see a grown man just start bawling right in front of me. Like, he was so excited to see his son and wrap his arms around him and love him. And his son was just like, I'm scared of you. I don't even want to see you. And so I kind of knelt down to Nettie, and I was just like, bro, like, this is your dad. Like, I don't know if you remember him, but, you know. And so I start to, like, talk to him. I don't even know what to say. Like, what do you tell a kid in that situation? And so I'm trying to convince him, like, this guy loves you. This is your father. Like, he loves you more than anybody on this planet. Like, go see your dad. Sometimes when I speak to groups of teenagers, I feel like that all over again. I'm like, you guys, your dad loves you. God loves you so much. Jesus loves you. And sometimes I feel like I'm talking to that same little kid again who just doesn't want to hear it and just won't believe it. Like, I don't know him. How does he love me? I don't know him. Can I tell you tonight, will you just listen? Will you just trust in him? Will you just hear me when I tell you that God loves you more than anything in the world, and Jesus has died for you to restore you? Will you not run and hide from him, but look back and say, God, tonight, my life is yours. I trust you. I believe in you. I love you. Jesus came to restore you, and he wants you to believe it. Will you just close your eyes for just a second? What an awesome way it would be to celebrate Easter than to say, look, I've accepted the Savior of the universe into my life, and he's forgiven me and made me brand new. That's how I'm celebrating Easter this year. If there's anybody here tonight who you've never trusted Jesus to forgive you, you've never asked Jesus to put your life back together again, and tonight you're like, that's me. Like, I want to be that son that looks up and says, Jesus, I love you back. I want to pray for you tonight. Will you just slip your hand up in the air so I can see it and I can pray for you? Like, Rob, like, that's me. I want to believe in Christ. I want to be saved tonight. Anybody else? Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. And if you're here tonight and you're like, listen, Rob, I'm here listening to these sermons every week. Or I'm at some youth group every week and I'm hearing about Jesus, but I'm not living that life and letting Jesus restore me. I'm living like sin. I'm still stuck in the part of that gospel lens that's the fall. I'm living broken and I'm almost happy doing it. And I need to stop. I need to see what Jesus has done for me. Rob, will you pray for me tonight to get out of that and to start following Christ? I'm saved, but I need to accept Jesus into his love and his restoration and all that deal back into my heart. Will you just raise your hand up tonight so I could pray for you? Just pray that I'd be strong to follow Christ. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for us. And as I close, here's what I want to ask you to do. We're going to worship. We have one more song of worship. I want to invite you guys just to get up. And if you really believe what you just said when you raised your hands, will you come up here and sing to the top of your lungs and tell God that through your song and say, Jesus, I want to worship you tonight. Father God, we love you so much. God, I thank you for the hands that went up this evening that said, I want to follow you. I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, will you hear them tonight? Father, will you cause them to speak to a leader before they leave this place? And I just ask, like, how do I follow Christ? And God, for those who raised their hands and said, look, I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm tired of messing around. I want to do this thing. Father, will you give them boldness and courage and strength to follow hard after you? Will you restore us? Will you make us brand new every day, every morning when we wake up? Strengthen us to go into our schools and our families and our sports teams and be bold and talk about this great news. Don't let us be ashamed of it, Christ. Convince us that it is that good. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.